Cape Talk, new beginnings.
Okay, so a little bit later than normal, and again with apologies that the astronaut is with us. One final reminder that that live broadcast has been rescheduled for tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. Instead, today we're going to speak to someone who's trying to help the potential astronauts of tomorrow to turn those dreams into reality. Her name is Cindy Mkhaza-Siboto, and she is the co-founder of the Emaqabeni Education Academy. And her passion for helping others to achieve their goals has seen her quite recently named one of the 100 brightest young minds in Africa and a Spark International change maker. Cindy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. Now, your academy offers academic support to learners in Khayelitsha to help them prepare for exams and also just to cope with the basic demands of their homework. That's quite a far cry from the other context, I think, in which I've spoken to you before, which is as a performing artist. How did you become involved in homework support?
Yes, that's true. So this homework support one was a bit of a personal one for me. I've got a sister, I think it was in 2013, when I realized she was doing quite badly in key subjects like maths and English. And just generally from living in South Africa, I know without a matric, your prospect of a bright future are just quite minimal. So I decided I had to do something. But when I checked around, we didn't have any tutoring programs in the immediate Khayelitsha that could assist her. So that's when I decided to just like start a homework support group first for her and her friends. Because if she's struggling, I know her peers must also be struggling. Mm. And because I grew up in Khayelitsha, I also knew the struggle of not having a parent at home who could be able to help you with your homework, just with the whole illiteracy around that generation of our parents. Yeah, and that's when I started the journey.
Sorry to interrupt, Cindy, because it's about more than just not having a parent who's au fait with their subjects. For many families, parents are working long hours away from home. They've got a long commute to and from work, which means they're just simply not there at the time their kids are coming home and trying to tackle their homework. And when they do get home, they're probably absolutely exhausted, which is not ideal for supporting kids through homework, which is possibly in a different language from the one they speak and possibly in a subject that they've never mastered themselves. Which makes it so important for people like you to step into that gap. Now, it started with your sister and a couple of her friends. Clearly, it's grown in leaps and bounds because I'm told you're currently offering matric tutoring both in Khayelitsha and in Soweto. Talk to us about how it grew from those early beginnings.
So we started about with 15 learners, which were about the ones in the streets where my home is in Khayelitsha. And now we're supporting about 60 learners. Currently was just a branch here in Khayelitsha. So the revision classes just came about. It's a pilot that we're testing this year. Mm. And we're launching in Soweto and here in Johannesburg. And we've partnered with private school teachers, one in Johannesburg and one here in Cape Town. And those classes are to kind of help us fundraise so that we can continue offering the support for free for those who can't afford it. Mm. And we're basing them in the township so that they're still kind of accessible for people who are living in the township. So we're cutting out if they have to pay for transport, if they're getting to a tutoring program or a revision class that's further, and just offering them closer to home, but still kind of bringing them the quality. Because with matric, especially at this late stage, it wouldn't be just enough to just get tutoring per se where you're filling in gaps. But some of the learners that are in the locations that we're targeting have quite high gaps within their knowledge system. Mm. They kind of need a teacher then who could kind of simplify and explain those methodologies and concepts.
Cindy, would you say a teacher? I mean, who are your teachers? Who is, you've said a private school teacher in Joburg and here in Cape Town, but you must need more than two for the extended sort of homework support you're offering. Who are those people who are stepping into to fill the teaching gap?
Yeah, so for the pilots, we just have two teachers. The one in Cape Town is Julian, but he's a teacher at Weinberg Boys High. Mm. And he's the physics HOD there. And we've got Wisdom Bunu. He is a teacher at the Midrand School. Yeah, and for the tutoring program that we're currently running annually, that one we have tutors who are from UCT, from the Dell Young Leaders Program, mm-hmm. and then we also have tutors in the community who are then in university, and they kind of help with a continuous program that we run throughout the year.
Okay. Now, that program that runs throughout the year, what specific grades are you targeting? Is it all high school learners, or are you focusing on a particular year or couple of years?
So we're focusing on grade 8 to grade 10, but you kind of don't leave the program if you're in grade 11 and 12. We keep you, and then you can go into, we then partner you with a mentor. But our targets are grade 8 to 10, because we found that also in the pilot year when we started the tutoring, that the learners didn't know their basics. So in order to kind of be able to help them properly, to start them from that lower grade where we can input from that basic level and grow with them. So hopefully by the time they're in grade 11 and 12, they're kind of grasping and they're mastering those concepts.
Okay.
So that's why we find that the tutor methodology then in the long term works for that program. Mm.
Now, speaking of the long term, Cindy, you've been running the homework support certainly for a year or two now. Have you had a chance to monitor what becomes of those kids as they move into matric and out of the schooling system? And have you got any feedback on how they've coped?
Yeah. So we have the, this is our fourth year, so this is our first year of actually having matriculants.
Okay.
So it's quite nervous and quite exciting. And we do, so one of our students, we have a Matandwa Glass, he's in, I think he's studying in Rose High School but lives in Kailita. Mm. And he's currently already applied to university and he's kind of had a conditional exception for law degree.
Fantastic.
And his results have been kind of improving. So the kind of improvements that we're seeing are they're improving from 5 up to 20%.
Gosh.
So, and we had this year, for the first time, my sister got a top achiever certificate for school. And one of the learners as well got most improved for mathematics at school. So we are kind of monitoring, doing report collections, and everyone's got the kind of individual stories of improvement.
You must take huge personal pride, though, in seeing your sister's improvement, given that she was the original inspiration for this.
Yes, I'm really proud of her.
I'm looking on your Twitter timeline and seeing that eMaqabini Academy hosted its first parents' circle recently, a supportive space for parents to be part of the process. Tell us more about what you're doing to bring them into this.
So what we do in the parents, we host a quarterly parents' meeting, but outside of the meeting updates of the program, we then have a circle where the parents can pose a question, or we kind of pose a question to begin the conversation in how they can develop strategies in order to support the learners when they're at home. And from these circles, parents kind of, they either share their anxieties around a child who's not taking their work seriously, or they're sharing how they are able to cope and give the learners space to learn within the home. So maybe it's around shifting their chores, and they're also sharing behaviors that have changed of the learner. Mm. So some of them, they've become more proactive in waking up early and getting themselves to eMaqabini on Saturdays. And some of them, they don't need to be told when to go to their schoolwork. And also issues around what are the best subjects that the children can choose in order to get into a certain career path.
Okay.
So those are the kind of issues that come up in the parent circles.
Okay. Cindy, I'm intrigued by your story because you're a woman who wears many different hats. This is one of them. As I mentioned earlier, you wear several different hats and masks and faces as a performing artist. But I know you're also involved as an educare coordinator at a nutrition center. You're an operations manager for Women Eng. What is it about your upbringing or your life experiences that has so motivated you to roll up your sleeves and get involved in helping others?
Yeah. So I grew up in Kailita, and if anyone knows for the kind of things that Kailita makes the news for. It's a township. I always say it's like grim circumstances when you see your neighbors. They're either gardeners or domestic workers. So I've just always wanted to change what I see and just change the circumstances of the people to be able to make their own lives better. And I've always just chose to be involved in programs where I can contribute to that change by just actually being able to give people a skill that can get them a job or just get them out of the poverty cycle. And most importantly, being able to just motivate them to get to a mindset where they can realize they can make choices that can just propel them further in life. And it's those kind of experiences that have shaped me of the kind of environments that I've been in and just having to be able to navigate them with the limited resources that I had.
Okay. I know that you were able to get your own Bachelor of Social Sciences with honours from UCT, focusing on African studies, but you also did an additional course in Gender and Development Studies. I'm interested to know how that shapes what you're doing, Cindy, because we know women and young girls in particular are often the most overlooked and the most on the fringe and on the receiving end of the worst deal, if I can call it that, in South Africa. Is that a particular passion of yours to inspire young women and motivate them to reach higher?
Yes, definitely. So we've also found in the academy, mostly girls apply. As a result, we have more girls than boys. It has been a particular way that I look at it, but my perspective around gender is that, especially from under-resourced communities, we kind of need to find a way where the males are also within that conversation of how do we create equal societies that don't see women as less than men and negotiate the space together. Because also just how I feel like it's deep within culture in how we're raising the boys and girls. And also within the families. So if you're working with both parties together at the same time, they kind of can be together in the conversation and they see how their role fits and the other one as well. So yeah, I suppose it's always something that I have in my mind when I interact within the program and in the programs that I have interacted in. But I'm also careful of not, I just feel that they need to work together. They need to work together,
Cindy, just in closing, I know you operate on a wing and a prayer and a lot of volunteerism, but it does take money to have a space to teach in. It takes teaching materials, even if it's as rudimentary as whiteboards and pens. How do you fund all of that, and how can listeners help support all of that?
So currently we depend on donations. One of our funders, we've got the Learning Trust on board, we've got Spark. We depend on individual donations. So what we really appreciate, one way of supporting us is through volunteering for the program and being a tutor. The second one, you could be a mentor for the learners. We're always looking for positive role models that could show the learners that they can be anything that they want to be in the world. And thirdly, we welcome any donation of any kind. No money is too small. And fourth, you could also then if you have a learner that's in matric, you could send them to the revision classes, because the income that we'll be making from the revision classes will be allowing us to run this annual program to be able to support the learners that can't afford tutoring.
Okay, now remind us, those revision classes, I know they're already underway, but what opportunities are still left for matric learners here in Cape Town?
Yeah, so we still have this coming Saturday, we have the revision class for Physics Paper 2. And we will have Mr. Julian teaching. He's the HOD from Wynberg Boys. And that will be accessible in Khayelitsha. But if you would like to, am I allowed to give us the number?
Yes, please do.
All right, you can call on 078-4600-889 to make the bookings or inquire if we still have space available.
And how much does that workshop cost, Cindy?
Each workshop costs 60 rand.
So 60 Rand for a revision on physics paper 2. It's 0784600889. Cindy, it's a wonderful story and we hope you grow from strength to strength. I'm looking forward to touching base with you in a year or two to find out what's become of your first batch of matriculants and where they've gone with your support. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
It's a great pleasure. Cindy Mkaza Siboto is the co-founder of the Emma Klibini Education Academy. So again, one last opportunity to take part in that matric revision. If you're going to be writing physics paper 2, here's an opportunity. The number again, 0784600889. If you're on the road and you can't jot that number down, please just send me an email when you get to your destination, because I have Cindy's different contact details, including email addresses, etc., all on file. And I'm very happy to pass them on to you after the show.